Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I realized last week when I saw Good Morning Vietnam with Avery that movie is the entire reason for that open. That's it! That's the only reason for that open. I totally ripped it off and I don't care. I'm not Robin Williams. I'm not that funny, but you know, it is what it is. And Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Yeah, I could have told you that. I thought that was common knowledge.
So here's the thing. I gotta tell you. We watched it in my house last week because in school, Avery is studying the Vietnam War. So my dad has this brilliant idea that you should watch this movie, right?
Seems
and Avery's 17, and so you're like 17, and I'm thinking to myself, this will be okay, because I remember what we did when we were 17.
Sure.
Well, turns out we did a lot of stuff, because we're sitting there watching it, and you talk about movies that hold up. Yeah, Good Morning Vietnam is still worthy of its rated R rating.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Because like two lines in, Amy looks at me and she goes, "Well, that didn't take long." And my dad goes, "It was a war." Like, that was his response. So like, I look back at what you and I watched and did when we were 17, and all I can think is, man, somebody probably should have beaten us.
Yeah.
Because, like, we did a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And now that I have a 17-year-old niece, I'm walking around going, you don't need to do that. Don't do this. Don't go over there. That's not cool.
Yeah.
And I know you feel the same way about it with your daughter. You're like, yeah, she's not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different thing when you're a parent or an uncle or whatever and dealing with the kids instead of being the kid. Because I was never restricted from watching anything.
Me either. Whoa. So. I was, but I always got around it. Hey, there she is. She's way early.
Yeah, I think she's. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we neither. I was restricted more than you were, but I always got around it.
Yeah.
And I never realized how, like, the stuff that I think about now is stuff that I would have never thought that I would think about. About, like, I'm telling her stuff and I'm like, man, I sound like my dad. That's not cool.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we're here doing this show because I don't have to feel like an adult.
Isn't that the truth?
This is the only place I don't have to feel like an adult.
Yes. I made a comment. I can't remember if I made this comment to you or not. I made it to the sexy sidekick, I know. But I made a comment last week on Tuesday when we did the interview with the Warfighter Engaged guys, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to that, go listen to that. Really, really good stuff. That I didn't have a free moment from last Tuesday. My hope was until this Tuesday. And then the church scheduled something where I work at on Tuesday, and so I didn't have a free moment. So literally right now is my first, like, non-adulting moment that I've had in a week and a half that I've either been working or parenting nonstop for a week and a half right now. So, yeah, I'm excited to be here, too.
I want you guys to be aware that's why he had the look on his face when he heard her voice, because it's like, oh, crap, here she comes.
Yeah, this is it. This is my moment. She'll probably show back up here in a little bit, but that was her trying to sneak away from her mom and get in here. So
we got a lot of stuff going on gaming-wise. I sent you a text about 20 minutes ago and told you what I've been playing. I know what you're looking forward to playing. Yes. And I got to say something to you. I'm really, we say it on a regular basis, but of all the hobbies that we could possibly have, I think we picked the best hobby that there is. Like, I get so much fun. I'm like 42.
Yes.
And I sent you a link earlier to a game on Steam, and the reason I sent you the link is that 11 o'clock this morning, Avery sends me that link and says, you need to look at this.
Yeah.
And so now I have my 17-year-old niece finding games for us to play, which is fabulous.
That is fantastic.
We love this thing that we do. We don't know if you people realize it, but we do.
Yeah. What I would give for more time to do it, without a doubt. But yes. Man, it is great, isn't it? And so many good games either out or coming. One that came out already this week, one that comes out tomorrow, and we'll talk about more in the show. But yeah, just tons of stuff, and now it's just a matter of finding time, which is the difficult part.
I gotta ask, where do you want to start? Because we got a lot to talk about. I finished Lake, which will tell you why I'm now currently playing the game that I'm playing.
Right. Yeah. So let me first shout out to Patreon guys. We'll start there. So Kevin, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you guys, as always, for your support. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can. And you can see the video episodes of each of these podcasts over there, which each week we fight with tech. We're here. And hopefully you see our faces at some point. So if you want to do that, gamingandsister.com, click on that Become a Patron link.
For those of you that care, which is like nobody, but I'm wearing a new pair of shades, which I love. I love the rose colored shades.
Yeah.
But these are more awesome. I dig these more.
The thing that is cracking me up about them is that I could just see your screen in them. And so when I look at you, I just see myself like reflected back at me. It's just like this weird, like floating heads of me all over the place. It's a very, very trippy experience for me.
You know what you should have done? Is you should have had some feels before the show. and that would have been really fun.
There you go.
We'll talk about feels later, but my new favorite pastime is taking some feels and playing some games.
Yes.
That's my thing. Yes. Yeah.
That is a good place to be for sure. So, I also have to admit I'm slightly distracted. I have the Astros game on here beside me as well, and they just hit a home run. So, you know, I had to represent the Astros today with the hat. I've got the Astros hat instead of the Zelda hat today since the playoffs are happening. So,
boy, I got to tell you, they got a shot at it.
Yeah, they're tearing the White Sox apart right now, so we'll see how it goes. Anyway, all that said, let me mention really quick, because I played next to nothing. I did play some Mario Golf on an airplane, which was a good time, and so that was fun. And I did, so the Steam Next Fest happened again. Which unfortunately I was way too busy to take any advantage of, except for a game that we talked about around E3, Arcade Paradise. That's the name of it, right?
Yeah.
They had a demo, a pre-alpha demo, but a working demo. And so I did play about an hour of that last night. And I just can't. I did the video. You can go find it on Patreon, talking about how like that game encapsulates my childhood. Like literally my family owns a laundromat that at one point we had arcade cabinets in the 90s, and so like it's just my life when I was a kid, you know,
right?
And so I fired it up, and it really is, it is just bizarrely nostalgic to like eerily my childhood of like the first thing you do is like somebody left their laundry, and so you put their laundry in like the washing machine, and it's like, hey, let's go back to the office and check out our chat, because it's like early days of the internet. And I kid you not, the first place that I ever had internet access was at my family's laundromat. Like, we didn't have it at home, you know, until a little bit later. Right. So if I wanted to be on the internet, like, to get on chat rooms or IRC or whatever, back in the day, that was where it happened at. And so, like, walking into this office in this virtual laundromat with this old, like, CRT screen with this little chat interface, I'm like, this is just my childhood. Like, they just legit, like, just ripped off my childhood. Like, this is just exactly how I grew up. And it's the most bizarre thing, but I'm fascinated by it. So, anyway.
When that comes out, I'm saying right now, if we don't do another piece of video, when that comes out, yes. You need to be in my house. We need, like, a bottle of bourbon.
Yes. And
we just need to sit through that, because that would be some entertaining. It's stuff, yeah. Right there. My family does not own a laundromat, but all of the stuff that you have told me about, that's how we grew up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't have a computer in my house until like 92.
Yeah.
And before that, you had to go somewhere. Like,
yep.
And yeah. I will never forget how easily entertained, and I won't speak for you here, but how easily entertained I was by the internet back in the day, because there was nothing on it.
Oh, no.
I remember that my favorite thing in the world was to go to the Sci-Fi Channel's website. Because they would have like these gifs of like the different shows, and yeah. they had a whole website for the old 1970s Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk
nice.
Show, and like I thought that was the most awesome thing ever, you know?
Yep.
And like seriously, it was that they had Mystery Science Theater 3000, and yes. they did all kinds of stuff with that on the internet. Like there was nothing on the internet in the 90s.
And, yeah, remember, there's no video content because you couldn't stream video at that point. And so, like the thing that we always did. Was go look up screenshots of video games.
Yeah.
Like that was the thing, is that you went and found the screenshots of video games because there weren't trailers or anything like that.
64 HQ, baby.
Yes, absolutely. We did that, and then we went and found like sound bites from movies. That was the other super fun thing, is that you just went and found like
soundboards.
Yes, soundboard for Independence Day is one that we just wore out all the time, you know. I like every one-liner from that movie, which is essentially just a movie of one-liners. We had like on a soundboard ready to go for like any situation ever. Here comes Will Smith in the background, you know, like just except for because again, it was the early days of the internet. You would hit play and it would take it 20 seconds before it would play back this 2-second piece of audio because it was dial up and everything else. And so, yes, it is that in a video game form, which is fantastic. So anyway, it was talking about Lake, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on finishing up Lake. But talking about Lake, that is not quite that nostalgic to me because it's just a little earlier than my childhood.
Yeah.
This is flat dead center of like my formative years, you know? And so it just feels like it's in a, like an urban environment. That's the only thing that's different is my family laundromats in a small town, rural environment. But outside of that, it's like identical to what it was, like just crazy. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that when it comes out sometime next year, officially. And so we will talk about that more. So that said, tell me a little bit about your thoughts on Lake. Now that you finished that.
So we both finished it. We both played through it. Believe it or not, we both finished the game. It's a miracle.
That's crazy.
But I got to the end of Lake, and the overwhelming thought that I had at the end of Lake is, man, I hope they make some more of this.
Yeah.
I love how it ended up, and I texted you and asked, you've been so busy, you didn't have a chance to answer me.
I actually saw what ending you got because I logged onto Steam, and it showed me your accomplishment.
Okay, cool.
We did the same thing, so.
What I really enjoyed about it is that it didn't really make you make the choice, because you get to the end of the game and Meredith has this major thing happen at work, which we both understand because we both have jobs, which we hope at some point will grant us a fair bit of money at some point down the road that we can, you know, go off and have the rest of our lives with. And so you get to that point and I'm thinking, okay, they're gonna make me make the choice of do I stay and do I give up this job and these stock options and this stuff that she just got, or do I go back? And is she miserable for the rest of her life?
Right.
I was thankful that they did not make me make that choice. But at the end of it, I was like, man, I hope there's some more of this, because I can't really explain to you what it is about Lake that is so compelling. But I could have spent 20 more hours.
Yeah.
Just doing whatever. And like, there's nothing there. Like, there's no, you're driving a mail truck and babysitting some lady's kids and cats. And like, I'm playing through this and I'm like, this is stupid. Like,
yeah.
What? This is dumb, but I like it.
Yes. Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. I would play a ton more of that game, and whatever more, I'm trying to find the name of the developer for it because I don't remember off the top of my head. Whatever they put out, I will be keeping up with into the future, because it just is a chill, like laid back random slice of life. That was nothing impressive in any technical way. Was it super innovative storytelling? It was just chill and cool, and I really dug it. You know, like, I just don't know how to explain it other than that. It's nothing that you're like, this changed my life. It was just like, that was a really nice experience. It was just good, wholesome fun.
Can I say that it's different than a Life is Strange? Because there's no drama. Like, I haven't played Life is Strange 2 because I don't have the attitude at this point to deal with some more sadness.
Right.
Like, there's enough sadness in the real world. Like, I don't need that. I love Life is Strange. But we all know how Life is Strange is going to end up.
Right.
And it's going to be some weird, sad, emo crap, and there's really no way around it. You know? Like, that's what it's going to be. And so I can't bring myself to play Life is Strange 2, but this didn't have that. Like, there was none of that, which I was really happy about.
Yes, it was, especially for like pandemic times when you just need something that's very much not heavy. It was just a good little something that's not heavy. Just a good little like turn your brain off, enjoy the vibe, the feel, the story, whatever. I dug every minute of it.
I mean, even Frank the Bookie didn't get arrested. You know, that's really good.
Oh, Frank. I want just spinoff games about like all of the different people, you know, a Frank game would be great. Like, how does he get tied up in gambling? You know, like just Yeah, there could be a prequel with Meredith's dad and Frank, and like, what are they doing running around? And, you know, like, just
the best line out of the whole game is when you go to the old lady's house with the cats for like the third time, and she says, "I'm really worried about Frank. Did he leave you any envelopes for me?" I literally fell out of my chair. That was the best line, because it's this old lady with all these cats, you know, and she's putting bets down on the Red Sox, and I loved it.
Yeah. I love like how every response you could have to that was essentially, what the crap? You know, like every one of them is like, are you tied up in gambling? Like, what is going on here? That was great. I did enjoy that moment a lot too. Just good, wholesome fun overall. So good job, guys.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And I needed something else that was sort of short-ish. I needed something that wasn't going to take, you know, the rest of eternity. And so right after I finished that, I decided to pick up the last Telltale Batman game. And I started playing that. And after about 15 minutes, I realized that those guys were really good at telling stories.
Yeah.
And I have a thought that I want to run by you, because I'm really enjoying this Batman thing. And people have tried to figure out, as long as you and I have been playing video games, how to do Superman in a video game. This is how you do Superman in a video game. Right? Like, you need that format. Throw Superman in there, give me some Lois, and like, I'm all good.
Yeah.
And let me tell you why I'm thinking that way. Because I've been on top of playing these games, I've been on this Smallville bender, which is on Hulu. And I don't know if you've ever seen Smallville. But Smallville may be the single greatest CW show ever made. I may be talking out my butt, but I really do. I think it may be the single greatest CW show ever made. And I've been watching it with Avery, and it's still so good. And they went for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I go to search in the internet, and I find out not only did they go for 10 years, but they did a season 11 in comic books.
Really? So I didn't know that. That's cool.
Like, seriously, they did like 45 issues.
Nice.
And called it Smallville season 11. And then I figure out through all of that that Tom Welling has been popping up on Cameo telling people that there's more stuff coming.
Nice.
And they're talking about doing an animated series with all the actors and all of that stuff. And I'm halfway tempted to like email them and go, "Yo, guys, while you're at it, let's just do a video game, because I'm all in on that." Like, I would play some Smallville in the Telltale format. Like,
yeah.
I'm all over that.
Yeah, for sure.
And can you think of a better way to see Superman in a video game for a first time?
No, the issue with a Superman game is that just trying to navigate gameplay as Superman doesn't make any sense, because Superman's like this crazy overpowered superhero, right? Like, just Superman as a character is always so absurd anyway, that he's got like every power except for this one massive weakness, and trying to integrate that into a game that's fun to play, you know, like Batman,
right?
Because it's so gadget based, makes a ton of sense. Or Spider-Man, because it's also fairly gadget, you know, like both of those have proven recently to make for good games. Superman, just, you can't make an Arkham or a Spider-Man style game out of Superman. It just wouldn't be fun.
No.
But a story-driven narrative, very much like they did Batman with Telltale, that in the Superman universe, be it, you know, young Superman or old Superman, whatever, where you're not like, hit this button to fly, you know, like that kind of sucks as a game model. But telling a story with the Superman universe, which is always super compelling, could work really, really well. I love that idea. I think it's super cool. The one way I could kind of feasibly see Superman work as a game.
And the way that the reason I know it'll work is because that's what Smallville is.
Sure. Like, yeah, absolutely.
Smallville is probably the single greatest Superman TV show ever made. And he doesn't put on the cape until the last two episodes, I think.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, and Telltale, what they did was convert comic books to video games that were narrative based, not action based. You know, like that's what they did, and so following that model, you know, again, just makes all the sense in the world.
My name is Jamie Jordan. Somebody steal my idea. I don't care if it's Telltale. Somebody steal that idea. I want to see it. I take that format. Somebody's got to be doing those style of games at this point. And if they are, I can't find them. Have you found other ones that are similar?
Not on that level. I mean, there's obviously ones out there that exist, but yeah. I was just looking up Telltale to see, because I don't, like, they still exist, but like obviously not in the same manner that they did before. Their website's super dated, and so it's a bummer because it was so good. They did so many good games. I still haven't finished the Walking Dead series. I haven't played the last the end of the Clementine story.
I haven't done that either. I've decided once I finish Batman, I'm gonna do all of the Telltale games that I haven't done. And so I'm either going to do the Clementine story or I'm going to play the Michonne title, which I don't think you've done either.
I think I got like halfway through that one. I started it, but I never finished it.
Right. And I've just decided that's what I'm doing for the next little while because they're short and they're not. I mean, the way they do the saves, you can stop in the middle of it and kind of walk away from it for a couple of days and not worry about it. And so I've decided that's what I'm doing next. And you guys won't see any video of that because crippled trying to push all of those buttons in the appropriate way, it's not cool. Like, it's not fun to watch. And it's worse because I've learned, at least with Batman, I don't know that they all work this way, but I've learned for the first time that if I'm struggling with something, when it gives me a prompt, I can hit the pause button and it will literally pause right there and I can get my fingers where they need to be and, you know, do whatever the combination is. It's an awful way to play. It's horrible.
But
that's the way I'm having to get through that. And this is something else that I wanted to bring up with you. I think for these style of games, I think as an accessibility feature, they need to make it where you can just say, okay, I want to watch this section or this portion happen. Like, I want to take, there needs to be a button where I can like take my hands off the keys and just watch it.
Yeah,
because for sure. Because me struggling trying to get to all those buttons, I'm not enjoying what's actually happening on the screen, which is fabulous. Yeah. And so I really think if somebody does that style, there needs to be some sort of mode or something where I can just say, okay, I'm taking my hands off the screen and I'm just going to watch what happens if you actually get all of these button presses right.
Right.
That's the lamest thing I've ever said on this air. But what are your thoughts on that? Because I know you don't have the same issues that I've got.
Sure.
But I really think, especially since we're talking about how important narrative is, and I mean, that's all Lake was. Like, there was no, like, real need to drive the truck. You're not there for that.
There's no skill involved with Lake at all. Like, there's nothing that you have to do that takes any kind of coordination or whatever. It makes sense for a game that's so narrative-based like that to have a kind of, give me the narrative option, you know, let me bypass the quick time events, because quick time events are kind of dumb. I understand it for those games and why they do it to make them interactive, but it's just a mechanism to make you do something, right? Really not it's not playing a game that has like tactical controls of something, some kind. It's just making you press a button to make it interactive. And so it doesn't have to be there. You can still walk around. You can still explore the world. You can still deal with all the dialogue options, all that kind of stuff that makes a game fun without the QuickTime events, and still have it be a game and not a movie, you know?
What? I think I would love that, because I would feel like I was watching a comic book for 10
exactly.
hours.
Yeah, like, a choose your own adventure comic book. That's the brilliance of it. Like, it just lets you play that out how you want to. So I think it's a good idea if people are listening.
Two great ideas
from Jamie Jordan today.
Yes! Somebody do that, and can I get a royalty? Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah. All that said, Gaming Guys Incident, of course, is brought to you by Feels.com. We got to talk about Feels for a little bit, because they're awesome, and we appreciate their support a ton. As a reminder, everybody knows at this point, but as a reminder, Feels is premium CBD products that are fantastic. They have the tincture, which is a couple of drops of oil under your tongue, which is great. They also have the mints, which we've talked about before. I've got my first order of those on the way. I know you've been enjoying those, and so pumped to get into those. Good people, they're going to tell you all the information you need to know. Make sure that you're dealing with dosages right, have good expectations of what you're going to get out of it. I'll give just one real quick story. So I've been traveling, obviously, this past week. I was in Memphis for work. And just needed a like clear your head bit of time. I did a couple of drops of Feels under the tongue and went on a 3-mile run, which has been a long time since I've done a 3-mile run. But just down by the river in Memphis, just downtown Memphis, Mississippi River, a couple of drops of Feels, out in just like myself, and it was just great. It was the best moment I had like that whole trip, of just being just kind of letting my mind wander, not working on anything specific. And was great just to get that kind of chill effect that you get from CBD oil. It's really, really nice. And Feels as a product that's fantastic for that.
I cannot wait until the next time we're together, because that's the thing that you and I have. Both of us have issues getting our brains to turn off.
Yes.
Like, neither one of us really talk about it. Like, we talk about it to each other some, but it's a real serious issue that we both have. And that, especially for me also, that's the best. Like, the sleep is a good thing to have Feels help deal with that. But, I think my favorite thing is just like what you were talking about there, is taking some and having 30 minutes or an hour where you don't have to do anything and you can just sort of let your brain reset. It's fabulous.
Yes.
It changes your entire day.
Yes. It's.
And I got to tell you that I heard from Justin the Web Guy. He asked me if he could have the link to the website. And I said, yeah, we got a promo link. Here you go. And he was like, cool. I didn't want to scrub through a podcast to get the link. And he said to me, he said, as a guy with cerebral palsy, does Feels help you? And I said, You gotta. I cannot stress to you enough how much help Feels is in my daily life. And it's enough help that I'm like, man, I take it probably 4 times a week, 5 times a week. There's a couple of days in there that I don't take it. And I tell you what, on those days, it's like, man, that's rough. That's hard.
Yeah,
it's a great product. You don't have the grogginess. You don't have any of that. When you're using it for sleep, it's fantastic. You're going to feel great no matter what you're doing. And you brought up the mints. The mints are fantastic because they're a small dose. And so if you're working and you just need a little extra focus, a little extra zip, I tend to take the mints when I'm working on something and I need a little extra focus. And it's fantastic. It's great.
Yeah. So if you want to start feeling better with Feels just like us, you can do that with a 50% off your first order. Go to feels.com/GU podcast. Use that promo code, get 50% off your first order plus free shipping. And then get involved with the membership program and you get 30% off after that as well, which is great too.
Yep.
So feels.com/GU podcast. Again, we talked about how it's a win-win-win. Everybody's good. And we're here for, what is this? The 6th week in a row, I think, at this
yes.
point. So it is keeping us honest too, which is a good, good thing. So that said, we should get to the news because we do have a chunk of news, nothing major going on, but a chunk of news. This first one, I imagine, will take up most of the time because I'm really interested in your thoughts of it. It is a rumor. And so let's preface with a rumor. This is according to an anonymous source that is theoretically involved with Konami, but nothing to specify what their job is or exactly how directly involved or whatever it is. But anyway, this source, so rumor, says that Konami is about to ramp up its AAA game production again. Konami's been relatively silent for a while. Konami, best known, at least as far as I'm concerned, for Metal Gear, Silent Hill, and then Castlevania, honestly. That's obviously a big deal. We've seen Castlevania here and there, but nothing really new from Castlevania in a while, even though we got the new Castlevania, the remake stuff or re-release stuff from the Switch event a couple weeks ago. So the rumor is that they're going to start putting out games again, cranking out these big AAA games in these franchises specifically, with a new Castlevania game coming. And then the one that I know you and I will want to talk about a lot is Metal Gear. This is, if for anybody that's been listening to the show for a while at this point, you know our love of Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid is one of our favorite franchises. We've played together, we've played separately, we've enjoyed thoroughly. And so the rumor is that they're working on a new project, but that may be a remake of Metal Gear Solid 3, or maybe new, something related to Metal Gear Solid 3, but maybe new story that's not a just remake of that original game, while also planning to do remasters of the original two games for modern consoles, essentially. At least, I think, just the original two, but maybe even more than that. Of course, all of this, at least with the current understanding, without Kojima. Because Kojima is not part of Konami anymore. And so lots of questions abound in my head about what makes sense with new Metal Gear, if they should do new Metal Gear, if they should focus on re-releasing, remastering Metal Gear. I don't know. I'm torn in a lot of ways, but we've been in a Metal Gear drought for a while. And so I'm kind of anxious for anything. If they're going to give us something, I'm probably going to get excited about it.
So Metal Gear is different than other franchises because we're in this renaissance of remakes. Everybody's excited about remakes. Ooh, remakes. And
I like Evil. Renaissance of remakes. That's a really good term.
Yeah, that's where we're at. We're in a renaissance of remakes. But Metal Gear is that one franchise. Like, Metal Gear, at least the original Metal Gear, has already been redone twice.
Yeah.
It's already been reskinned twice. And I don't know that I want a redo of the first game or the second game or, like, because the thing with those two games, especially the first two, is if you and I were in a room with the appropriate refreshments and the appropriate console, the first and second Metal Gear, whether remakes or the originals, would still hold up today, I think. I really think they would, at least those first two. And I don't know how much I really want to see another remake, especially with Kojima not in the building.
Yeah, that's kind of where, in some ways. So I don't know that I think that those originals would hold up as well, just because the remake or the re-release, the remaster, whatever you want to call it, Twin Snakes, that came out on GameCube, right?
Right.
So like the most recent version we have of those first two games is on GameCube, which is pretty dated as well at this point. Those looked significantly better than the original PlayStation Metal Gear Solid did, but still would be dated now. I would play back through those games in a heartbeat. I love those games. They're not terribly long, which is nice.
Right.
But I think I would like them with a reskin, you know, but even if it was just a reskin, make them look pretty, kind of, you know, again, modern lighting, modern gameplay conveniences, that kind of stuff, but keep the story. And that's where I kind of am leaning more towards. I kind of hope they make a remake as opposed to trying to do something new, because trying to do something new without Kojima is...
Or David Hayter. Or
David Hayter. Yeah, bring David Hayter back, guys. Come on. Kiefer's like, yeah, bring David Hayter back. I get what you were trying to do there, but man, David Hayter's a better snake. I love Kiefer, but David Hayter's a better snake. Anyway, I don't want to necessarily see new Metal Gear without Kojima. I think... But Kojima is so crazy. I don't know if I want to see new Metal Gear with Kojima either. You know, like it's kind of horrifying either way. But I would love to see, like, honestly, my dream would be, you know, see Kojima Productions and Konami team up, because like Konami, one of the parts of this rumor is that they're looking to outsource a lot of development, that the last couple of things that they've done in-house just haven't been very good. And so they kind of realize that and are looking at some outside developers to take the helm of some of these AAA titles, franchises that they have. Well, bring Kojima back for that, you know, like
yeah.
Outsource to the guy that made this franchise. And, you know, like, I don't know if Kojima would be into that at all, but if you're doing a new Metal Gear game, it has to be Kojima. Like, I just can't, even as right. terrifying as that is to me, like, I can't separate Kojima from Metal Gear in my head. And so it has to be Kojima. But if you're doing remake stuff, like you can snazz up all those early games, and even like, a legit remake of Snake Eater that like fleshed out things more, that had new gameplay experience. So much of that game was so cool with the, you know, camouflage elements and the, you know, like scavenging elements and all that kind of stuff was really fun. Like modernize that. And yeah, I'd be all over that.
And if you did like a Naughty Dog kind of thing, because what I want is, and it may already be available, I don't know, but what I want is all of those titles, 1 through 4,
yeah,
available in a package redone on PC. I have played through the original Metal Gear 3 times and I think I even started a 4th at one point. And I would play them all, especially if you want to put them on a PC with an NVIDIA card and a nice monitor. Like, I'm all over that. That's what I'm most excited about, the Naughty Dog stuff coming to PC. That stuff's going to be fabulous. I'm going to suck at all of it, but it's going to be fabulous.
Yeah.
And I would pay money to have that. I really would.
Yeah. For sure. The one that I want to see remade, honestly, out of all of them, is Metal Gear Solid 5 and finish the dang thing.
Yes.
Because that is a phenomenal game until it just stops because the game's not finished. It was the most painful thing ever to me because it was really good, even if it was Kiefer, that it was really, fun and just a cool, like, open world Metal Gear was like a cool idea and pretty well executed, and so much going right for that game. I love that game. And then you get to like the cool, like what should be the like mid boss fight of the game. And it's like, okay, here's a series of little quick things to finish up and you're done. And you're like, wait, what happened? Like, where's the rest of the game at? Like, give me that game finalized and I would freak out.
And I would bet if somebody were to back up the truck, Kojima would finish it. Like, yeah. Let's be real honest and let's be clear about the fact that he was not happy that he did not get to finish that.
Right. Yeah.
And so somebody give that guy some money and let him finish Metal Gear 5, because that I want to see.
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I would love to see that. So that's the Metal Gear side of it. We'll see what happens there. There's been Silent Hill rumors floating around for a long time. Remake rumors, of course, but maybe new stuff as well. And so that is theoretically also in the offerings here. Honestly, Silent Hill interests me a little bit less. The Silent Hill is just a little too far for me. Resident Evil is kind of my extent on the horror game. Silent Hill is just a bit over the edge.
I love the original Silent Hill. I never played much after the first one, but that first one, I'd play that again. That was it's kind of like on the same level of Alan Wake. Like, that's why I'm excited about the remaster of Alan Wake, because it's that same type of thing.
Yeah.
And I would play that. I'm not interested in Silent Hill 45. I mean, they've literally made like 44 of them at this point, which I don't care about. But if you want to give me like the first three, I'm all in on that.
We'll see what happens with it, but I think that the idea that Konami is going to be a remake company for at least the immediate future makes some sense, honestly, because it is the renaissance of remakes, as you said. It is all the rage right now, and so I could easily see Konami hopping on board with that. So we'll see what happens there. A couple other things to hit before we wrap up today. This Twitch hack, it's an interesting thing. I don't know that we need to spend a ton of time on it, but at least mention it here. So Twitch got hacked, the source code for Twitch, including data about how much all of the streamers are making off of it. And so just numbers of what the kind of top Twitch streamers are making, which is a lot of money. Somebody pointed out more money than the developers of some of these games are making that they're streaming, which seems off, but whatever.
Yeah.
Good for them for making content. People watch it and there's money happening. And it's hard for me to make any judgments on that. But my favorite line out of this whole story is that when this popped up, one of the hackers, I think this is, posted on 4chan, quote, "Jeff Bezos paid $970 million for this and we're giving it away for free," which was just a great line to me. So
that's the best line I've heard in 6 months.
Yeah. So if you want, the Twitch source code is now out there on the internet. You can pick it up, and I don't know what you're going to do with it, but feel free. I know Twitch isn't thrilled about that, but Twitch is still going on. People are still streaming, and so it's not like it ruined everything, but yeah.
So a couple of things on this, and then we'll roll. I think that's part of the reason that we are where we are at this point, because neither one of us understand the popularity of Twitch or streaming games on YouTube or like, I've tried it. I've tried to be entertaining. We've tried it as a show. We've never tried it from your house, but it's a lot of work to be entertaining for an hour and a half. And I don't understand why people are into it. Like, it's different than doing this show. We could do a three. We used to do this show for 3 hours on a Saturday. We could do that playing games and trying to be funny and ha the whole thing. I don't understand it. I don't get why people watch it. I don't understand why they pay for it. It doesn't make sense. But they do, and some people figured out how to monetize that, and we're just the two losers that don't make any money. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever. I mean, I'd like to feel bad for Bezos, but I really don't.
I definitely don't feel bad for Bezos.
Yeah.
There's some people in this situation I feel bad for, but the people I feel bad for are the people that aren't making the money. Like all the people that like their names are floating around there about how many millions of dollars they're making off of Twitch. I'm like, okay, whatever. Yeah. You know, like, sorry that everybody knows you're making a crap ton of money on Twitch. But yeah, that, there you go. It is, you know, like it's these indie developers that are putting out content that gets Twitch popular. You know, I think of something like Among Us that just, you know, took off and that was just huge on Twitch too, because there's such a social component to that. That I'm sure some of the people streaming Among Us are making more money than the developers of Among Us are making that are actually the people that created the content that the streamers are using to make content out of. You know, obviously they're adding their own personalities and stuff on top of that. There's value to that. It's essentially what we do too. So I'm not saying that that's awful by any means. But trying to figure out how developers get more support. On the flip side of that, many more people know about these games because they're streamed on Twitch. And so developers do make more money than they would otherwise if they weren't being streamed on Twitch. It's such a weird thing. It's such a weird ecosystem that exists whatever. People are sitting in their house playing video games and making a lot of money off of it. That's not the end of the world to me. Sorry that it's public, but it's not anyway. There may be more that comes out. We'll see. A couple of quick Nintendo things. So we had the big Nintendo Direct a couple weeks ago that had a couple of teases. One of the teases was the final Super Smash Brothers Ultimate character reveal was going to happen, and that's now officially happened. And I, you know, we've talked about this a lot. We think Super Smash Brothers is fine, but neither one of us is good enough at it to actually get into it to the level that people are into it, because people are crazy into it. But it is a big deal, and I'm just, you know, kind of fascinated with all these character reveals. And it's I think this character reveal was the 89.
That's nuts.
Just nuts. Theoretically the last. They'll come back and add some more, I'm sure, at some point, but to make this a big hype. But I was really curious who it's going to be. Who do you end with? And like the fan favorite that I saw floating around was Waluigi would be a great one to cap off with. It wasn't Waluigi. It was actually Sora from Kingdom Hearts was the final character announcement.
Wow.
Which I actually thought was pretty solid.
It is pretty solid. You know what? And it's timed really well, too, because you heard about the Kingdom Hearts remaster. That I want to play.
Yeah. Kingdom Hearts, even though it's so convoluted, I can't wrap my head around it. It's just a hot mess of, like, storyline and game names. Like, it's 2.8. What? I don't know. It's weird. But yes, new stuff coming with Kingdom Hearts. The whole trilogy is coming to Switch as a streaming game, multiple games, whatever it is. So you can stream them on your Switch, which is becoming a bigger and bigger thing. We talked about it during the Nintendo Direct where they showed Dying Light as a streaming game. They've done Control as a streaming game on the Switch. That's a way that they're kind of splitting the difference between the power that the console actually has and modern games, that now you can get them on this handheld form factor. My experience hasn't been great with the Switch streaming. I felt more lag there than anywhere else.
The OLED Switch is going to fix that because it has a network port.
Right. So you could theoretically do it in docked mode. But just won't have it in handheld mode. But that would be tons better. And the honest truth is also every one of those games that I've streamed in handheld mode, the resolution's so bad that it's hard to read anything on screen that you want to play in docked mode anyway. Yeah. So yeah, that will help a ton. That'll make a big difference. The other Nintendo thing we have also in that Direct, we talked about, of course, the N64 and the Genesis games coming to the new tier of the Switch Online. The Genesis controller that they showed off. So of course they also showed off the wireless 64 and Genesis controllers. The Genesis controller, this is something that nobody's going to get unless you grew up with a Sega Genesis.
Yep.
But the Sega Genesis controller that they showed off was the 3-button Genesis controller. They are releasing a 6-button Genesis controller for the Switch, but only in Japan, which, like, the 6-button Genesis controller was, like, the thing to have, yes. You know? Like, that was such a big deal.
Yeah. I had it. Hello,
yeah. And so it's such a random thing. But I was like, why don't we get the 6-button Genesis controller here?
So look, I'm full of brilliant ideas today. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. Guys. I know you think you're going to make money on this, but do us all a favor. I'll pay $30 for an adapter. Let me go out and buy these controllers on eBay and just plug them in, because I love you guys. I know you're trying to make money. I get it. But for crying out loud, the fact that you're only going to make the 6-button controller available in one territory is stupid.
Yes,
it's dumb. Absolutely. Okay, and don't even get me started about the accessibility issues that I'm not going to be able to use this, because I can't just plug a 6-button controller in, which I can get off eBay in 10 minutes. Like it's not that complicated. I understand why they're doing it. I get it. It's just kind of dumb.
Yes, agreed. There's a couple of Netflix things in the show notes. Go by gaminguncensored.com if you want to see that, including The Witcher coming back to Netflix, of course. We know that there's already plans for a third season, which I'm all on board with, because I've enjoyed the first one. But also a kids show from The Witcher.
Yeah.
Which, for the life of me, I have no idea what that is. I can't wrap my head around the idea of a Witcher kids show at all.
Okay, so a Witcher kids show would kind of be like on the same level of a Game of Thrones kids show starring Tyrion Lannister. I that's kind of what I'm thinking about when I read this, was that Tyrion Lannister just going to pop up and be like, "Hi, I'm the imp." That sounds like a really bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, The Witcher is sex and boobs, and it's what it is. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't either. We'll see what happens with that. And then one more kind of TV tie-in thing. We've been talking about the Twisted Metal TV show for a while. There is now a rumor that there's going to be a game released in to coincide with the TV show that is going to be led by the developer that did Destruction All-Stars, this kind of Twisted Metal knockoff that came out as a free game on PlayStation Plus here just recently. That's actually kind of fun. I played it for a half hour, so it's very Twisted Metal-ish without all the darkness of it. Now they're theoretically doing a Twisted Metal game. Not the worst developer to do that. We'll see what happens. Twisted Metal, like, that's one that I could take a remake of. Twisted Metal Black. Give me a remake of Twisted Metal Black. Twisted Metal Black is just one of my favorite games. All period. Just a great game. But the combat racing games, because there's not tons of those, probably the best.
Just real quick, before we lose the show of the little girl, we do have a few releases this week.
Yes, yes. So we got to get to releases.
Let's get those in there. Because so, there's some big ones.
There are some big ones. We're getting into the close to holiday season, which is getting earlier and earlier every year, apparently. So Far Cry 6 is out. You can go pick up Far Cry 6 right now. Getting kind of mid-70s reviews. Metacritic has it kind of all mid-70s, depending on platform. PlayStation 5 is a 75. Xbox is an 80. There's always a disparity between PlayStation and Xbox, that the Xbox rating is always higher, and I've never quite figured out why.
Money, bro. Money.
Maybe. Maybe? I don't know. Whatever it is. 75 to 80 on that. The reviews that I've seen about Far Cry 6 is essentially, hey, if you like Far Cry, you're going to like this. Like, it's a good Far Cry game. If the Far Cry model is something that you're tired of, you're probably not going to enjoy this because it's just more Far Cry. But apparently, it's a good Far Cry game. And so, shut the brain off. Enjoy Giancarlo Esposito for a while.
Yep.
I'm all for that. So, of course, that one, you had mentioned the Alan Wake remaster that is also out at 82 on Metacritic. That's a big deal. And then, of course, tomorrow, from when we're doing this show, this is on Thursday. Tomorrow is Friday, October 8th, which is the launch date of Metroid Dread. The early reviews on that also really promising. Has an 88 right now on Metacritic. And I mean, honestly, for a Metroid game, high 80s would be my expectation. And so high 80s Metroid game, platformer Metroid. That thrills my soul.
I saw the IGN review this morning.
Yep.
They loved it. It's fantastic. I think we're going to fall over ourselves. Yes. I can't wait.
Specifically on that IGN review, they said the best boss fights ever in a Metroid game, which Metroid boss fights are just so good. That's the thing that was like, yeah, I'm all for this.
And the thing that I'm excited about that is such a geeky thing to be excited about, probably you and I are the only people that are going to be really excited about it, is that they said you have to use the map. Like the map is something that you're going to have to study and pay attention to. Like, you and I are going to have to be on the phone, I think, for some of this, going, I don't know. I don't understand.
Yes. Exactly how a Metroid game should be. That they said very specifically, like, this is the Metroid of Metroidvania. You've played a lot of Metroidvania games that have been released recently that hold your hand a lot more. This one doesn't do that. This is back to kind of classic Metroidvania, which, again, to me, just gets me that much more excited because that's what I want out of it. I want it to be nostalgic Metroid with really pretty graphics, and that so far seems to be what it is. I think right now on my front porch, I have a Pro Controller. I've waited until now to get the Pro Controller.
I got the Pro Controller specifically for this. Yeah.
Not a question. So it is ordered. Metroid will be bought within the next couple of days. I mentioned to you that I'm traveling again this weekend, and so it's not going to be until early next week that I fire it up. But I, cross your fingers, have a little bit of time available next week, and so pretty pumped about that.
And can I tell you that when you come to my house, I want to remind you that I there is a Switch dock here.
Right.
So you don't even need to bring your dog, just bring the Switch.
Yes.
And we're going to play some Metroid. Yep. I'm so excited. And the thing is, the thing that excites me about it is on the IGN review, they specifically said you can run through it, which I know you're going to be tempted to do, but they said don't, which makes total sense to me for a Metroid game.
Yeah,
you're not a completionist, but the guy that did the review said, look, on my first run, I got 82%, and you know that I think you got to get at least that for a Metroid game, and so
yeah, I don't care as much about getting every like missile power up, but I do care about seeing every point on that map. That's the Metroid is an exploration game, you know, like I want to see every inch of that map that I can see. And that's where, yeah, just rewards your curiosity. You go in here and go, oh, crap, I'm going to die because I'm on fire now because I don't have the fire suit. And then you're like, I got to go back there. Yeah, it's just the way Metroid works. Apparently, they've carried that over, and I'm pretty pumped about it. So that'll be soon. You'll be hearing us talk about that maybe as early as the next show, which would be great.
Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited. I love video games. It just makes me happy. I'm going to play some video games this evening when I get done. We're in a great space right now. It's really exciting. We love this show. We love this show.
Let me mention really quick that tech is freaking out on us over here. That I don't know that our video capture is going to make it. So if this doesn't pop up on Patreon, our apologies. Our recording service is not happy with us. So we'll see what happens. If you don't see our faces, we apologize.
It says we're still recording on my end.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. So just in case, just a heads up. If you're looking for us on Patreon and we're not there, that's why. Hopefully we will be.
Can I take this point to mention that we ask a lot for your money and a lot for tech upgrades. Our next tech upgrade is going to be a better way to record this show remotely. Yes. So if you become a Patreon and give us money, that will be our next upgrade, is trying to figure out how to do video for this show better. And I have an idea, because I use stuff at the church to stream, and you have a new job at the church, and so you're dealing with streaming stuff. We're going to figure this out. I think we're going to have to buy boxes on both ends, but we're going to get this better, and maybe by the time we're dead, we're going to be good at streaming. But it's probably going to be when we're about dead. That being said, we do still have a voicemail line that we do still need you to call. I think it's going to close in like 2 days if somebody doesn't call it. So please give that number a call, 509-GAME-210. Cabbage, I don't care what you say. Like, you could be snarky, just call it. Yeah. 509-GAME-210, and keep our voicemail line alive. Yes. Because I don't want to give that up, really. Yeah. And so, definitely go by there, check that out. Of course, there's always snarky people on the Facebook page, and they're getting more snarky by the day. Stuff going on over there, lots of cool stuff. And the Twitter is always quite hilarious. The people that follow us on Twitter and talk to us on Twitter are people that we don't hear from otherwise, which makes me laugh.
Yes, I do enjoy that.
Yes, it's a good thing. So definitely go by there and check all that stuff out. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and for one more week, this is Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.